This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dana Fisher is the Assistant Professor of Sociology at Columbia University. She joins us on the phone from her office in New York. How are you, Dana?
I'm doing fine, Coy. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for joining us. Your new book is Activism, Inc., How the Outsourcing of Grassroots Campaigns is Strangling Progressive Politics in America. And just the title alone is fantastic. I love these titles that academics come up with, because usually they're better than the titles of the professional fiction writers. But anyway, can you give us before we get into the nuts and the bolts of the book, give us a little background of how you got into this, because it's my understanding that you sort of got involved in this as a student at Princeton.
Well, it's true that I first got involved, I guess, originally, because when I was a student at Princeton, right after my first year in college, I ended up working as a canvasser outside Philadelphia for part of my summer vacation. Actually, for all of my summer vacation, I was originally supposed to go to France and work there and work on my French skills. And I got so engaged in the canvassing that I pretended to have mono so I could stay home and canvass for the whole summer.
And tell folks, what is a canvasser?
A canvasser is somebody who goes door to door, stands on the street, recruiting and renewing members for progressive organizations of all types. I'm specifically in my work focusing on fundraising canvassers, who are the people who are asking you if you have a minute to support an organization, and in the end of your conversation, they'll ask you for money, probably in the form of a check or a credit card number. And so I got very involved in this. I went back to school and changed my major, and that's when I started getting interested in politics. The book didn't come until a lot later, after I finished my PhD and was working at Columbia, and I wanted to go back and look at what happened to the people who were like me, who had worked as canvassers, and how that experience affected their civic engagement and their participation in politics broadly.
And, of course, you approached this originally as a canvasser yourself, working the knocking on doors and working the streets, and then you went back as a sociologist and studied this kind of thing. What are some of the things that you found out that might jump off the page to the reader here?
I should just say that a lot of things have changed since when I had my experience canvassing in 1990. But what I found when I did the research, and the research was conducted in 2003 and 2004, is that activism has been outsourced on the left, and there are two main unintended consequences. First, the members of national groups that have outsourced their campaigns have become less connected to the groups that are supposedly representing them. And these national groups have little to no actual contact with their members besides cashing their checks. In some cases, the information that the members are receiving from canvassers who are recruiting their support at the door or on the street is insufficient and incorrect. And second, and perhaps more significant, is the way that outsourcing activism is affecting the young people who are working as the quote-unquote foot soldiers for these campaigns. These idealistic young people who have chosen to spend their summers going door-to-door or standing on the street to recruit support for progressive organizations are being burned out and turned off to progressive politics by the experiences they are having. And these young people represent the next generation of potential progressive leaders, but they're being turned away to politics.
Dana Fisher, our guest sociologist at Columbia University, is this unique to the left, or are we seeing something similar, a similar phenomenon on the right? And if not, why not?
Well, this actually happens to be a phenomenon that's happening specifically on the left. On the right, there is a very different strategy for reaching out to members through intermediary organizations that work on the ground in local communities. And those, that model really has been developed over the past 20 years, or maybe even longer, through groups like the Christian Coalition and others, where basically right-leaning Americans are being identified through gun groups, anti-choice groups, many different types of conservative causes, and they're working already on the ground there, and then they're being plugged into the national campaigns of national groups as well as the Republican Party more broadly. So it's a very different model. At the same time, I also should say that on the right, it's a lot easier because the Republican Party and conservatives in general have a lot more funding, so they're not relying on canvassing as a way of supporting specific organizations.
And the model on the right sounds like a lot better way to create future leaders.
Certainly does. I mean, and it certainly seems to be effective at bringing in young people and keeping them involved in politics.
In your book, Activism, Inc., you talk about institutionalizing activism and outsourcing activism. Flesh that out for us.
Well, what I talk about when I say institutionalizing activism is the fact that this model of activism in terms of the grassroots outreach of progressive organizations going through one nationally centered organization involves an extremely scripted process where the national group sends information to its local campaign offices, and all of that information is told to the canvassers, and they're given a very clear script of what they have to say verbatim and the model they have to follow, so that there's no real wiggle room, or opportunities for deliberation on the ground. It's a very kind of unidirectional diffusion model where the information comes down, but it doesn't go back up. So it's not about having conversations. It's about raising money and hitting a certain number of doors and making a quota. With regard to outsourcing, what I'm talking about here is the fact that many progressive groups on the left have started to hire one of a handful of organizations to do their grassroots outreach and to do their fundraising, so that there's no longer different people being trained by different organizations going door to door. What you have is a bunch of young people working for one office who wear a different T-shirt on a different day and say a different script on that day to raise money for a different cause. I mean, at this point, even the Democratic Party, the DNC, has hired an outsourcing group to run its campaigns at the grassroots level in terms of fundraising.
We're talking with sociologist Dana Fisher of Columbia University. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Her new book is Activism, Inc., How the Outsourcing of Grassroots Campaigns is Strangling Progressive Politics in America. We're going to take a very quick break. We're back in two. You're listening to Charlottesville right now. Dana Fisher is our guest this half hour on Charlottesville right now. She's a sociologist at Columbia University. Her new book is Activism, Inc. Dana, let's talk a little bit about your field work. In the flapjacket, it refers to unprecedented access to the People's Project. Tell folks exactly who and what is the People's Project and a little bit about some of the field work you did for this book.
The People's Project is one of the largest canvassing organizations in the country. Since the book has come out, the organization that I studied, which was actually the Fund for Public Interest Research, has gone on the record with the media as identifying themselves as the People's Project. And they're a group that has run canvasses for national organizations that run the spectrum on left. They include the Human Rights Campaign, the Sierra Club, Save the Children. In addition, during the time that I was studying them, they were working with Greenpeace, although they no longer do, and they have also spun off a for-profit group called Grassroots Campaigns Incorporated, and they run canvasses of the same style for groups such as the Democratic National Committee. I think they're running campaigns right now also for the DCCC, which is the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, as well as other progressive organizations that are not specifically partisan. To tell you a little bit about my field work,
sure.
In summer of 2003, with two graduate student research assistants, I went out and spent a week in one of each randomly selected offices in each region of the United States. So we spent a week in each office. We selected out of hat one canvas office in each of these regions. So we had one in the Northwest, one in California, one in the Midwest, one in the Southwest, one in the Southeast, and one in the Northeast. And we spent a week in each of the offices, and we were permitted to speak to anybody who had gone on staff, so they had finished their training, which is a two-day training process. And we spoke to every single canvasser in those offices who was willing to speak to us and had finished their training. So, of course, we didn't force anybody to speak to us. And after the interview, we asked them if they would fill out a short survey so that we could compare these personal stories to a national average and national sample of young people. And then we asked them for follow-up information, if we could contact them for a follow-up interview. And so in 2004, we contacted them via the phone and did follow-up interviews with all of them. all of them who we could find. We were able to find two-thirds of them. And then in addition to that, we also conducted a follow-up survey to see how civically engaged they were at that point.
Dana, I can see from one perspective where you could make the argument that this is brilliant. It's streamlined, this whole outsourcing. It's a market solution to political activism and getting out there in the streets and reaching people with your message. And yet you're finding there's a chink in that armor that it's really, in the end, not a good idea.
Well, I mean, you're right. Outsourcing activism in politics is a successful model for raising money and recruiting members. It works. And it works better than a lot of these national groups that used to run their own indigenous canvases or other indigenous grassroots outreach methods. The problem, however, is that outsourcing politics may be doing more harm than good. No one is harnessing the political potential of the people who give money. And no one is engaging with the young people who are doing the actual work. So it's just a model for bringing in money and raising lists.
And these kids that are out there raising the money, they're not stupid. I mean, they know at the end of the day, they know they're just being used.
Yeah, I mean, what I thought was really telling in my research was that when I spoke to the canvassers in the summer of 2003, most of them had been working for, at the most, a couple of weeks. And they all said they felt like they were making such a difference and they were so excited about their work. And, you know, that was wonderful. And then I followed up with them in 2004, and I asked them to reflect on their experiences when they were canvassing. And they thought about it, and most of them had turned so that they never wanted to canvass again. And they were extremely frustrated, including one canvasser whom I met in Boulder, who had originally said that he was so happy he wasn't working for Starbucks. And when I followed up with him in 2004, he said he was so happy he was working for Starbucks because he just couldn't handle feeling like he was part of such a corporate structure for activism.
And again, this is if I understand you right, this is a phenomenon unique to the left. And again, what is the right doing differently? Underscore that contrast with us once again. What is the right doing differently that is working, that the left is not?
The right has developed an infrastructure on the ground. And part of that is because the right lost for so many years that they developed this, they had a long-term strategy for connecting local peoples. And because of that, they have local organizations that connect to one another, friends and neighbors who know each other, so that they can fold them into the national infrastructure for the Republican Party and for national groups on the right. And because of that, they're able to mobilize people, mostly voluntarily, to contact their friends and neighbors who are likely Republicans and likely conservative, to ask them to vote for specific issues and specific candidates. And that is extremely different from the infrastructure on the left. And in some ways, people say, I mean, I think the former Senator Bill Bradley says it best, that there is no real ground infrastructure on the left. He calls the Democratic Party a party inverted, where there are so many people working at the national level and so few working on the ground, and it doesn't connect friends and neighbors. And the problem is that, you know, it works fine, this short-term kind of outsource model, when you're not competing with people who are working with friends and neighbors. But once you start competing with people who know each other, who can call up their neighbors and say, you know, we really need you to come out to the polls today, then it's troublesome and it doesn't work as well.
Do you think the right is well served by limiting their focusing their issues, you know, God, gays, guns, abortion, and the left seems to be all over the place?
I think that part of it is that certain constituents within the right were very successful in getting their issues to be mainstream issues for the right. But I'm not sure that that's really it as much as, you know, members are, you know, people who coordinated the Bush-Cheney campaign in 2004 said to me, look, we've targeted ourselves on the low-hanging fruit here. We know who are going to be our most likely constituents, and we go there first. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, you could do the exact same thing on the left, but it would take the time to invest at the local level in connecting those people together through the groups that they're involved with.
And do you see Howard Dean, does he have that kind of vision?
I think that the 50-state strategy is a really interesting opportunity to create such a ground infrastructure. I know he's getting a lot of slack on the left. There's a lot of criticism in the Democratic Party that he doesn't care about the midterm elections. I think that he's taking the first step towards creating such a ground infrastructure. But I think that there's no quick fix to this. It's not going to be a two-month strategy. It's got to be long-term. And I know he understands that, but I'm not sure that the Democratic Party has the patience.
What is the Dana Fisher, our guest sociologist at Columbia University, her new book is Activism, Inc. Project forward for us here. What do you see the impact of this type of outsourcing of activism having the impact on the left and what it might do to the right as well?
Well, I think that, you know, the easiest answer is with regard to the right. I think it invigorates the right. I think that it, you know, the fact that the left is doing it in such a corporatized model that doesn't actually engage local peoples, I think is helping to mobilize people on the right even more. And I think that the people on the right continue to be connected, and they were connected after the 2004 election. They were working on Supreme Court nominees. They were working on anti-gay legislation. Those people continue to be involved in politics. On the left, this kind of outsourced model is keeping left-leaning individuals all over the country from actually participating in politics. I mean, the one counter trend I think we can see is the net roots, or those people who get on the internet. But that's not the same thing as actually getting together with your friend and neighbor and talking about real issues that concern you locally.
Yeah, it's almost like the left has forgotten the whole idea of community. I mean, am I going too far? But
I don't think you're going too far. I mean, I think that a lot of people in the Democratic Party would, and progressive organizations more broadly would be very upset with that. I mean, certainly there are many of them who are upset with me right now. But I think that when it comes down to it, there's not a lot of attention to community in terms of building a local community that connects nationally. There are a lot of local groups on the left that are doing very interesting things all over the country, but they don't plug into national infrastructure in any meaningful way.
Dana Fisher, her new book is Activism, Inc., How the Outsourcing of Grassroots Campaigns is Strangling Progressive Politics in America. Thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Coy.
Absolutely. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.